This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is 12:10. Billy G's Carolina Barbecue presents the national anthem at noon. Welcome back, Billy G's CarolinaBarbecue.com. If you need catering, boy, do they have some fantastic barbecue and sides and everything in between. Billy G's CarolinaBarbecue.com. Get your order in now. It is graduation season. Hashtag graduation season. CarolinaBarbecueSauce.com to order the Carolina Gold and order the Sweet Heat and order the Secret Spice Rub. Have it delivered to your doorstep. Billy G's Carolina Barbecue. JC, couple things here. One, you've got a report out about the portal, and we have not been able to get your thoughts on the spring game publicly yet, at least on our program, so we certainly want to get to those. I think you would agree that Saturday left a lot to be desired from the wide receiver position. And it feels like they need some improvement there. So it looks like they've got somebody visiting. But they also, as of this morning, have somebody departing the program. Sydney Fugar, tackle, transferred in last season, will be leaving and re-entering the portal as well. So give us the latest here.
I keep looking and think Mike's passed out, dead. Yeah. Same. And then I thought Mike's head was growing out of his shoulder earlier. Like Mike's twin is just like they're twinsing, having a twin moment. And anyway, there were some bright spots. I thought Tyshawn Russell looked pretty solid. I would have liked to have seen more out of Gage Larvadane just because he's been the best in practice, but he didn't. I mean, they threw him. I'm not a huge fan of those little bubble screens they run a lot of, especially in the spring game setting. They're going to do that a lot. And he got a couple of those and just wasn't happening because the perimeter blocking wasn't there. But, Mazio Bennett's going to be a really good receiver at this school, I think.
I agree with that.
As far as that, what they don't have are guys that right now scare you. If you're a DB, you don't go and you're not lining up going, my God, how are we going to stop 17 or how are we going to start 3 or how are we going to stop, Debo, name your guy. Yeah. And it's just because they're not that, they're not that experienced. They do have a guy on campus for a visit coming in today from Florida State. He's from Mike's neck of the woods, Palm Beach County, Vero Beach, out of high school. We all know Florida State was pretty loaded this past year. But Florida State fans were kind of upset that he left because his name is Vandravius Jacobs, and he got in the portal and, you know, just didn't. I mean, as a redshirt freshman last year, caught three passes for 60 yards, 28-yard touchdown. Got a call from a good contact on him that thinks, you know, he's scheduled to visit Arkansas middle of the week, but thinks it could be probably shut down pretty quick. Thinks he's probably going to end up at South Carolina. So a lot of speed, a lot of explosiveness, and a guy that probably is going to play a lot of snaps for the Seminoles this year. You know, not the proven guy that you're going to circle or that's going to scare anybody right away, but that just maybe have to be something that evolves during the season. I like guys like this. I'll take all the wide receivers out of South Florida that you want to give me, Mike, you know.
Yeah.
If I want DBs or wide receivers, scat backs, defensive linemen in certain cases, I'm going down and renting Mike's condo for a month and going to every school in Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach and all points in between.
At worst, you'll get Emmanuel Cook. You'll change positions, and he'll still make plays for you on the field.
Yeah, dude, those guys are good. So I like this kid a lot. He's got a great football name, too. Vandravius Jacobs. Mm-hmm. That's a good football name. Was a high three-star prospect out of Fort Pierce, Vero Beach, and like I said, was ranked the number one player in Palm Beach County for a while. So, you know, I think that's the type of guy that when you're looking at taking multiple receivers this time around, that you can kind of sneak in and he can end up being sneaky good for you.
Yeah, I going back to the spring game, and of course we hit on this yesterday with Mike, you know, I we'll get to the defense with you here just a little bit, JC. Totally different conversation to be had. You know, when you bring other things in, like offensive line, it's kind of hard to gauge because of how they did the draft. And I can tell you who I think the best linemen are, but we didn't see them all play together. So we don't know collectively what the offensive line will look like. Running backs, quarterbacks, those type things. Receiver just doesn't have the guy. Like if Juice Wells was here, my prediction would be this. If Juice Wells had not entered the portal, you would have obviously one of the best wide receivers in the country, or at least in the SEC. And then Gage Larvadane, Amari Huggins-Bruce, Jared Brown, Tyshawn Russell, Mazio Bennett, those type guys. You would have that group, maybe another name or two, obviously Nick Harbor when he gets back, and whomever, kind of battling for that, you know, that good stat line, Mike, JC? Like the guy at the end of the year that has 621 receiving yards on 42 catches with 6 touchdowns, good year, right? Like you'd be battling for that stat line if you had a dude returning like you have and like you would have had with Juice Wells or Xavier Leggett. With all that being said, the other side of the coin is, did anybody really think that they were going to get that out of Xavier Leggett this past year? Like, nobody saw that coming, right? But we knew what he was capable of doing, and he had that big go-get-him type size. We saw it at the end of the 22 season, especially in the bowl game, with what he did against Notre Dame. We've really seen none of that with any of these guys. And nobody has kind of that added size that gives you that pillow feeling of, well, this is a guy that you can just probably toss it to. Josh Simon, but he's a tight end. So I took away, it was less than impressive, I think, the group. I felt like the most talented guy at wide receiver, JC, was Mazio Bennett, honestly. I thought he was the most talented guy I saw out there. And he's a young guy, so I'm not exactly sure how much you can lean on him. Reminded me a little bit of Penny, to be honest with you, and how
there's
he moved.
There's been a lot of freshman receivers that have come, going back to Zola Davis, that have had huge years.
Well, that's true, but a lot of those guys over the years.
But it's uncomfortable to depend on freshmen. I get it.
Right.
I
mean, They had other guys there that had already kind of proven it. I mean, they don't have anybody here who's proven it here.
Well, I'll give you guys some comfort, a little bit of comfort. Like, I'll take you back to 2014. It was one of the best offenses in program history. You had Pharaoh Cooper, Nick Jones, and Shaq Rowland.
Yeah.
You know, replacing Bruce Ellington and those guys. Pharaoh had 6 career receptions as a redshirt freshman coming in to that season. He caught 69 passes for about 1,136 yards and 9 touchdowns. Nick Jones had a career year that year too, 42 catches. And Shaq had some good moments until at the end. And they relied on Roy Anderson and Jarrell Adams. You know, Damir Bird was on that team and didn't really get a lot of – probably should have thrown it to him a little more looking back on it. I don't know. I don't think Steve Spurrier Jr. ever really liked him for some reason. But so that team, you know, and there was nobody – Shaq Rowland was the biggest receiver, like pure receiver there, because Bird was – small and Nick Jones was 5'8" and Pharaoh was 5'11". So it can be done. And I know everybody's going to say, well, Steve Spurrier was calling the plays. And yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm not going to dispute that. Dylan Thompson was a fifth year guy. And you had two running backs in Mike Davis and Brandon Wiles that were good. And you had a really good offensive line with Michelle and AJ Cann.
Two running backs and went to the NFL
and they still went 7-6. I mean, that wasn't a great,
you know, could,
primarily because of defense, yeah. But you know, I think yeah, Craig says we need a Keon Coleman. Yeah, and Craig's right. The Gamecocks need a Keon Coleman. Well, Keon Coleman wasn't Keon Coleman until he was at Florida State, though. I mean, he was merely good. He's a Louisiana kid of all things, so you loved it when he broke away for a touchdown against LSU. That had to be a very good feeling. Was it Michigan State? And did okay, but you know, he was like a 40 catch guy, and then he saw what happens. So I'm with you, but that's always easier said than done. As Mike chuckled, you know, we need a Keon Coleman. Of course you do. Everyone does.
Yeah, sign me up. You know, there's Addison last year. You know, Southern Cal plucked in. Like, there's a lot of I could name for you five guys that would immediately improve the Gamecock passing game dramatically. But that doesn't mean those five guys are saying, you know, I really want to be a Gamecock and I really want to go and play there because that's number one on my list. Like, if you're watching the portal, a lot of the top guys keep going to the same schools. Like, this just goes back to my initial point of with NIL and the portal, it's still the rich getting richer. Like, it's not – I think some people had this pipe dream that when the landscape of player acquisition changed, that reshuffling the deck was all of a sudden going to change where the top schools weren't going to stop getting all the top players and maybe you'd spread the wealth a little bit more. No. It's still Bama, Georgia, Ohio State, Texas. Like, if you're not in that cabal, you're not getting the pick of the litter. So you have to be a little more creative and you have to find guys a little more below the radar that turn into what Leggett turned into, even though he wasn't a 4 or 5 star at a high school and didn't light it up at some other school before going in the portal. Like, that's not where Carolina is in this whole thing. You can correct me if I'm wrong, JC, but I just want to keep expectations real here. You're not just getting whoever you're the pick of the litter. Just like most schools are not getting pick of the litter, right?
That's why you have to go find Juice Wells at James Madison.
Right.
You have to go exactly. Find. I mean, look, Rocket Sanders is a pick of the litter. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
And that's the weirdest offseason storyline I think I've ever experienced at South Carolina, because you have an All-American running back that's recovering from labrum surgery, right? But he's going to recover, and they feel good about him recovering. Nobody's talking. I haven't heard somebody mentioned Rocket Sanders on the message board today. He's like, is he still on the team? And I'm like, it's the dangest thing. I mean, you would think, and I feel I'm the same way. I don't even, like, when I think about the Gamecocks this year, I don't even think about Rocket Sanders being on the roster. I don't know why. Maybe it's because of all the lingering injuries that have been around here or whatever, but you're right. You know, you got to go find guys if you're here, because you can, I think. I mean, you know, like I mentioned, Juice Wells, you know, that's a guy that came in from the portal that pretty doggone good, right? And kind of you look at his journey from prep school to James Madison to Carolina, and, you know, you kind of – sometimes guys go that route, and that's what you got to find. Mario Anderson last year, and would Mario have been third team at Carolina right now? Probably. I liked – just about all the back. I mean, and I liked Mario, but, you know, Division II Newberry, you know, you get him to come and all of a sudden you get a player. That's what a lot of schools have to do. And then it works the other way as well. You know, South Carolina got Monquel Goodmine, a defensive tackle from Alabama. who was just kind of stuck behind a lot of talented guys. And hey, he's at Carolina now. He's second team. They like him, and he's going to be here 2 years and probably will start next. The other thing you got to do, I think, if you're not a blue blood, is look at situations like with the two Pitt guys. Pitt, you know, Pitt evaluates well. You know, Pat Narduzzi can spot talent. You know, he was he and D'Antonio at Michigan State. You saw what they did. They have a bad year. Guys are wanting to get out of Dodge. Well, you took their most promising D tackle and their most promising linebacker who can fly. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're NFL guys. You know, they were just on a bad football team, so they get overlooked. So I'm with you there. I think, and if I'm a non blue blood, I kind of like the incestual relationship they have with the 5-star players. Let them do it because it's proven. It's science. Everybody talks about science. They don't throw some science at you. 5-star players only hit a 60% clip. Mm-hmm. Look at how many 5-star players left Georgia because they're not going to play at Georgia. All right.
Ooh.
Let them transfer back and forth between all the blue blood schools all they want. And then you'll look up one day like Southern Cal did last year on the defense and say, we don't have any players. Well, guess what? You have a lot of stars, though. A lot of stars.
The beautiful thing about being Georgia or Alabama, though, is that football, unlike basketball and baseball, with 85 scholarships, you can cover up your recruiting mistakes, right? Because so if I stockpile a bunch of 5-stars, you're right. A lot of them are going to miss. A lot of them are going to be like, I told you he was a bust. That's okay. I got another 5-star that won't be. And now, as if that advantage wasn't enough, now when I miss, I could say, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and grab this guy in the portal because he's a proven – I don't care how many stars he had recruiting. I saw him in the MAC – go for 1,500 yards receiving, running, take your pick. And I know he can do it at this level, so I'm going to bring him in to fill the – I don't have to live in the portal because I'm already stockpiling 5-stars. But I'm going to just fill a gap here and there, and that's why they're not going to have down years the way we're accustomed to seeing down years in other sports.
Let me just – here's Georgia's outgoing transfer list, right? 23 guys. Tyler Williams, 4-star. Andrew Paul, running back, high 3. Chad Lindbergh, O-tackle, high 3. C.J. Smith, receiver, high 3. Morissette, receiver, high 3. I didn't know these guys even signed with Georgia. Miller, high 3. A.J. Harris, 5-star corner. I was reading their transfer ratings. Back to high school. 4-star, 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 5-star. High 4-star, 5-star, and this guy's actually good. I think Jamon Dumas Johnson is going to be a holy terror at Kentucky. Marvin Jones Jr., 5-star, went to Florida State. Logan Johnson was a walk-on, so he doesn't count. Haynes was a 4-star. Ba was a 4-star. High 4-star. Lightsey, high 4-star, almost a 5. Nylon Green was a 5. You get the picture. And that's all their high school rankings. And Brock Vandergriff was the last 5-star. So you look at all the high school star ratings that have left, and it really kind of, like you said, Mike, opened your eyes to, like, what kind of machine they have down there. Because they don't care. I mean, you go back class by class, you know, half of their top guys are rankings-wise are gone, and they just fill it back up. I mean, when we had Mike Griffith on the other day, he kind of used that analogy. They just fill it back up.
Right. Rinse, wash, repeat. And you, again, with such a high 85 scholarship total, like if you're at the point where you're recruiting that way, you can miss on a bunch of guys and you're still going to be okay. Where your average program, when you miss on four and 5-star guys, it's debilitating. But I'll tell you, you would have loved the pun intended, the love drive around the SEC, love Chevy JC yesterday. And maybe, you can get a chance to go back and listen. I went over the top SEC players that are going to be drafted tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday at every position from the SEC. And it's the usual suspects. It's Georgia. It's LSU. It's Alabama. But there's an influx of, like, Missouri kids, which is why I think Missouri is going to take a little bit of a step back this year. They lose a ton of guys off that defense and their coordinator. But I really think, as much as Carolina fans, like a lot of other SEC teams that have lost to Missouri the last couple of years, are like, enough with this Missouri crap. You can learn a little bit from what Missouri was able to do, because most of those kids that played well for Missouri and Como the last year or two, that are about to be drafted. Missouri's going to have like a handful of guys drafted in the NFL, more than a lot of other SEC programs that kind of stick their nose up at Missouri and go, what are you doing here? This is our league. They got a bunch of 2-3-star guys that turned into really good players. Like, it's Schrader is obviously the headliner, a D2 walk-on who led the SEC in rushing. And he might go in like the 6th, 7th round. But it's a bunch of other dudes that were not that highly recruited. You know, Missouri did not finish top 10 in recruiting rankings. And I know they're picking it up now. But back then, a lot of these guys were not the most highly recruited or sought after, and they turned out to be really good players.
When I was kind of on my team recruiting rankings, you got to take with a grain of salt, because it's, you're talking about fractions of numbers and stuff that separate one class from another, and it's highly subjective. But what I was trying to point out, that they don't mean anything. Missouri finished exactly 34th in the country for like 4 straight cycles. They were 34th, not up, not 33rd, not 35th, 34th. So you're telling me the rankings that say that 4 straight recruiting classes are exactly alike and are exactly the same value. Yeah. You're going to take that algorithm and tie your sweetheart to it and cry when you don't get your way. I mean, I don't understand that. But yeah, Missouri, they've always, it's kind of crazy, Mike, going back to the Gary Pinkel era, when they were in the Big 12, I worked with a guy named Bobby Burton, and he's a Texas guy. Legend in recruiting, and he was kind of teaching me the ropes, and they joined the SEC kind of later on. But he told me back in 2005, Missouri recruits better than people think on the D line. I don't know how they do it. They go find these underrated guys from Texas. They're on the D line. When they got in the SEC, I kind of, you know, Pinkel came in, and I kind of, that was in the back of my head. I'm like, well, unlike A&M, who aspires to get all these, they're just developing guys at Missouri. And if it's D-line, that's going to help them in this league. Lo and behold, they won 2 straight divisions. Weak divisions, but they won them, right? And so they've always kind of had a history of finding, especially on defense, Mike, those under-the-radar guys. And they've been helped in the transfer portal as well. But, like, their D-line last year against Carolina, Georgia, everybody else was filthy. Maybe one of those guys was highly recruited. The rest were like 3 stars from East St. Louis and Kansas City and Texas or wherever else they recruit. So hats off to them. Hats off to them. You nailed it right there. Eli is still, that is still a developmental program here. Yeah. 2 coaches after Gary Pinkel.
So. Good for him. I mean, that's what South Carolina needs to inherit some of that around here. I think they're certainly trying to do so. Matter of fact, I've got a quote from Shane Beamer I'll read when we get back from break. That maybe describes some of how this team or program should and probably will need to win moving forward. I'll add this too on the receiver, going back to the receiver conversation, but then I'm going to break. Any guesses between the 21 and 22 recruiting classes, including the portal, how many of those receivers are on this roster?
After the break.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just think about it. We'll tell you when we return right here on ITG.
Gamecock Traditions, South Carolina's elite retailer for anything Gamecock related. The best selection for basketball, baseball, football, tailgating, kids stuff, and everything else. If it's got the Gamecock logo, it's got to be at Gamecock Traditions. Most importantly, they ship it to your doorstep. Order online at GamecockTraditions.com, where there's always a sale. Gamecock Traditions, GamecockTraditions.com, a tradition unlike the others.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So he comes over to me and he says, listen to me. I don't want to hear one more word out of you about my refereeing today. You say one more word about my refereeing, then you're going to be thrown out of this game. And so I turned around to all my parents. I go, hey, parents, I'm not allowed to tell the ref how bad he is, so I'm going to need you to do that for me.
Oh.
He said, you're
gone. I'm a beggar who could use some help. I'm a seeker searching for myself. I'm a rolling stone just waiting on a friend. I'm a lover wishing on a star for another, with a broken heart to hold each other close till the end.
Nana's Porch, nanasporch.com. At Nana's Porch, they cater weddings, parties, and all kinds of special events. Their meals are served buffet style, and seconds, they're encouraged. Plus, they can bring their mobile food unit to bring on-site and serve your guests as a unique alternative for your catering needs. Inquire about rentals as well. nanasporch.com. Find them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. 336-259-7550.
Tony Pope State Farm is your go-to agent anywhere in South Carolina, North Carolina, or Georgia for the service you deserve at the price you want. So try combining your home, life, auto, and or small business insurance today. Tony Pope State Farm has been in business for more than 30 years and can handle anything you need in the tri-state area. 843-851-2222 or visit TonyPope.com today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, Daniel Kelly joining us tomorrow. Daniel Kelly, in addition to having Spencer Rattler atop his value board going into the draft tomorrow night, has Xavier Leggett as the third prospect. Welcome back inside the Gamecocks, the show powered by Electric Bikes of Charleston. 9 receivers as part of the 21 and 22 classes. 9. None of them are here. They have all departed, every single one. And that leads you to where you are today, having to find one or two in the portal moving forward into this 24 season. You would think 9 receivers in 21, 22, you'd have a bunch of juniors and seniors at the receiver position, right? Nope. It's tough in this day and age. If you miss – Here's the thing, too. I don't know if you can go as far as to say that they missed on all the guys, because how do we really know, Mike, JC? Back in the day, Xavier Leggett, it took Xavier Leggett 4 years to turn into the receiver he turned into, right? 4 years. So how can we go out with the hot take of, well, they missed on all those guys? Half of them left after they were freshmen and sophomore. How the hell do we know? I don't know what they're going to end up doing. But so, I mean, historically, guys stick around and they play for 3 or 4 years. Some guys develop early, some guys develop late. But I don't think the blanket statement of they just missed in recruiting. I'm not saying they didn't miss in recruiting. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm also not saying that that's the only answer to this problem.
Well, I mean, like Omega Blake left, right? Talented enough guy, probably could have gotten to it like a 30, 40 catch a game guy. Didn't want to. Yeah. Attitude was a problem. And if you notice, he's already left East Carolina and headed on to Charlotte. So,
right.
To deal with Biff. Now he's got Coach Pogge in his ear. He's going to have Coach Pogge all over him, which is not going to be pleasant for him, I don't think. you know, some of these guys just can't play, couldn't play. You can't, you know, and you miss. Steve Spurrier Jr. had a ton of misses. Now, he had some hits. Most of them weren't on him. I'll give him credit for Debo, but that's about it. He didn't want – most of those guys I talked about earlier, he didn't want them, none of them.
Who recruited O.J. Burdock?
Remember Farrell? Well, that was Spurrier at the beginning.
Oof.
But that was a tragic situation.
Rest in peace. Yeah, man.
But, yeah, I mean, OJ was like a top 100 guy.
Five-star kid.
Yeah, I mean.
He's a burner.
But he just, he couldn't learn the offense. That was the problem with him. But, you know, so you go, you've had misses, okay? So I'm not going to hang this around the neck of some guy. Now, I'll say this. In this state, and we don't know, like Jamie said, we don't know the answer to some of this. There's receivers every year that go play Power 5 level football. Now, whether that's in South Carolina, whether they leave the state or not, that's usually up to South Carolina or Clemson. Are these guys like Jameer Boston, who went to NC State last year from Westside? They won a state championship. Played for my guy, Brian Lane. Carolina didn't even sniff him. Or guys like that who are from the state that maybe they're out there chasing some unicorns and missing on. Are they actually missing on those guys? That's an answer we don't have at the moment. I'll say this too. The state has not necessarily had a bunch of no-brainers. I mean, Mazio Bennett since Antonio Williams and Adam Randall, Mazio's been the top-rated guy at receiver from South Carolina. Carolina got him. I mean, that's been the guy. Tyler Brown at Clemson was Mazio's teammate and was kind of a sleeper. I'll say this, though, and I don't like to look ahead, but I'm going to look ahead. The class of 2026 in this state, in South Carolina, is looking like it's going to be pretty loaded. If you kind of look at who is known and on the radar early as rising juniors, and you know, it may not turn out that they end up, these guys may not be that good, but you have two nationally ranked receivers in Columbia in Jordan Gidron and Donovan Murph at Ridgeview and Irmo. That rarely happens, right? Xavier Currents is a known player, big safety from South Point and Rock Hill. You got a tight end, Jamel House at Newberry, that's a big athletic Roy Anderson type of guy. The running back at Broome, Jalen McGill, is a stud. Yeah. You know, the quarterback at Gaffney's on the radar, Javon Gilmore. Then you got the offensive linemen down at Timberland and an offensive lineman up at South Point that are already offer worthy. So if you're looking for the state to kind of come back, bounce back, you know, everybody always talks about that run of great players. That this class, at least on paper right now, for 2026, is probably the best one since 18. And 18 ended up being because he had three kids that left and went to IMG at 18. So if all this stays intact, you know, the Gamecocks from the high school ranks have a golden opportunity. And those two receivers are no-brainers. The Ridgeview kid and the Irmo kid are no-brainers. So.
I hope I'm alive when those guys get to campus. You said 26. Wow.
Look,
we're only one class. We're at 25 right now, recruiting cycle wise. So
I know, but it's April 24.
I know.
Yeah, that's only 10 years before the ACC deal runs out, too.
Yeah, that's a good point. Hey, by then we'll be making more than the guys in the ACC.
That's right. We will live in the good. Either inflation or demand for content will have reached critical mass enough to make better than the ACC schools.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Mike?
I was just going to say my only 2 cents on that. Everybody knows the importance of in-state recruiting. It's obvious, but I think the wide receiver position at Carolina is very similar to just about every other one. You can't just feed off in-state recruiting if you're going to be next level in the Southeastern Conference. You got to start pulling kids in from other states. You got to start being appealing to talented wideouts, and wideouts now in some cases they're really more coveted than running backs, because just like in the NFL draft that you're about to see, running backs are a dime a dozen. Okay, it's what happened last year at Carolina, as I've said before, should never happen again to an SEC school where you don't have an SEC caliber running back in your stable. That was a miss. That was a mistake. That was whatever you want. It won't happen again. You got Rocket Sanders and two other guys that are more than capable this year, and they'll have. I guarantee you, Carolina will be fine at running back for the next 10 years. But wide receiver, game breaking wide receivers are harder to get, and you can't just rely on guys that grew up in South Carolina to get them. So unless you just want to live in the portal and hope you can win bidding wars on those type of kids, you need to get some of those in recruiting as well. You know, some in Georgia and Florida and neighboring states and other parts of the country, you've got to get some of those.
I mean, I you know, and you're not sometimes, you know, on a 5-star stud receiver from the state of Florida, you know, those kids that have been going to Alabama and Ohio State. I mean, it seems like they go to one or the other. Now, they're not going to Miami or FSU or Florida anymore. Mm-hmm. They're going to Columbus or Tuscaloosa or occasionally out to SC. So South Carolina, unless they have like a relationship there, they're probably not going to be able to beat, right at this point, Alabama and those teams on those types. But you got to take almost, I think, Mike, the West Virginia approach, right? You know, you got to go down to South Florida and get that next layer of dogs at mm-hmm. receiver. Because I guarantee you those guys, I never really was a fan of receivers from the state of Georgia. And if you look at Georgia, University of Georgia through the years, they've had really good receivers from that state. Don't get me wrong, but a lot of times the hyped guys aren't elite. You know, some of the UGA's better receivers have been guys like AJ Green from another state. Or Muhammad Masakwai from Charlotte, you know, through the years, they're big studs that they've had. I always would kind of sit there and scratch my head, especially when the Gamecocks did it. Why would you take three receivers from Georgia when you can go to South Florida? And yeah, they may not be as polished and they may work out in a gym that's, you know, built for 25 and there's 100 people in there and it's 90 degrees. And, you know, they may not have the best transcript that the Gwinnett kid has, but I'll take that kid from Dade Broward in Palm Beach any day of the week and twice on Sunday, because I know he loves football. I know he's fast. I know he's got skill. And I know that, like, he's going to go out there and give it all he's got, and I can fine-tune his athleticism and take his intangibles and make him a warrior on the field, whereas the other guy's probably already kind of arrived. You know, and that's not a blanket statement. Now, they're good players that come from everywhere, but I would take like the West Virginia approach under when Doc Holliday was up there and Rich Rod was up there, and kind of their approach through the years, it would be to go down to Fort Lauderdale and that next layer of guys, the guys that didn't want to stay in state, you know, they take them all. I mean, you see UCF get guys, South Florida get guys like that.
Who's the guys best that could easily play wide receiver Carolina's ever recruited from South Florida?
From South Florida?
You said South Florida. That's where you go get these guys. So who's the best player they've ever brought up from there at that position?
They've never
done well.
They've never done that. They've never found him. I mean, they don't
emphasize. I'm not saying you're wrong. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that
would be my idea. I mean, they've never really emphasized it either. Spurrier didn't want to go further south than Palm Beach. No. He would tell them not to. No. Don't go further south of Palm Beach. You're just
the best, receivers in the history of this program are from South Carolina, Georgia,
North Carolina.
Yeah,
you got Sterling Sharp from Georgia. And you know, you can't leave him off the list. And But yeah, Kenny McKinley's from Georgia. Farrah Cooper's from North Carolina. Ace Sanders. Ace was from Bradenton, but that's West Coast of Florida. But you're right, Mike. You can't depend on in-state talent alone, but you also at that position, because they are harder to find, but there are also 1,000 of them. So you can make mistakes at receiver easily, because you'll fall in love with a guy and he's just not very good. And there's 1,000 other better options. So I think, you know, it's a matter of being smart, recruiting smartly. And you can get enough players at that spot to have a good passing game and all that. I think the shape of the room right now is a function of a lot of different things, not just recruiting failure. But hey, recruiting is how you get players on the roster. So if a room is in bad shape, obviously you didn't recruit that well.
I've never recruited.
Big picture wise.
I know this, Mike. I know you don't pay attention to the recruiting stuff like we do, but Shane Beamer, under his leadership, this staff has found something up there in that Delmarva area. And, you know,
well, that's
ending for receivers.
Right. I mean, you got, and by the way, Jen, St. Thomas is Broward County, not that far south of Palm Beach County. And if you want to get some good talent, they're a national powerhouse year in year. That's where Michael Irvin went when they couldn't put food on the table, but Michael was walking around in 3-piece suits in high school.
No.
But they were putting water in their cornflakes.
I don't believe that.
but yeah, I mean, Carolina's more of a national brand than it ever has been. You know, the exposure that Carolina has gotten, whether it's Sandstorm or you hear people rave about Williams-Brice that don't know much about the state of South Carolina, but they know, damn, that there's a good fan base and a great place to play and a good vibe and everything else. So use your geography to your advantage. You're closer to the Northeast than just about every other SEC school, with the exception of Kentucky, maybe. And they plant their flag in the Midwest, promising Ohio kids we're the gateway to the SEC, but without being too far from home. So, yeah, I think the strategy, and Lou Holtz tried to do this somewhat as well, getting guys like a Pinnock and from Connecticut. Northeastern kid, there's ball players out there, and they don't necessarily want to play at Rutgers. So you can go in there and get some. And to JC's point, it would serve you well to get a few South Florida kids every now and then. It would serve you well to keep recruiting Georgia well, because there's just not enough just in South Carolina. I get it. Like, per capita, South Carolina is a very productive state, turning out great ball players. But you've got to be able to go elsewhere. And I believe Carolina can. But again, that's why everybody's putting a lot of resources into NIL, because I'm telling you right now, I mean, so many of these kids that are leaving are leaving based on, well, they're offering me 50,000 more. Yeah, right. But what about the history and the? Yeah, but they're offering $50,000 more. That's $50,000 more I can buy a car or give something to my family, and that's simply what a lot of these battles are coming down to. I don't think there's much more to it than that. I brought up the example yesterday, JC, about I was going over again the draft list, and I won't bog everybody down too much on that. But like a Marshawn Lloyd and a Jaheim Bell. So they transfer to Florida State and Southern Cal. And I'm convinced that was more of a money grab than anything else. You might know more than I do about that. I don't think they left for the science program. So what'd they really get? Like Marshawn Lloyd, he didn't put up any better numbers than he was going to put up at Carolina. He's going to be a fourth round pick at best. Jaheim Bell, he played a lot, and they certainly won a lot of games at Florida State, but he didn't play any more than he was going to at Carolina. His numbers weren't going to be any better than they were at Carolina, and he might be a seventh round draft pick. So what did those kids really gain by leaving? Nothing.
They didn't seven more first. Wins.
Well, again, I get, but look, Jamie, I mean, in all honesty,
I know
Carolina was coming off wins against Tennessee, wins against Clemson. I mean, all the momentum in the world. So
that was not in the thought process when he left. He was not going there to win 12 games.
They were two different 100%. Things. Jaheim left because of the former OC and kind of how he's being used. And there was NIL at Florida State available for him. And come to find out, while I still agree with Jaheim that Marcus Satterfield didn't know how to use him, Florida State couldn't do much with him either, because you know why? Because Jaheim Rell can't run the route. He didn't know the plays. Yep. He didn't know the plays here, and he didn't know the play. Mike Norvell's offense is a lot easier to learn than the side attack. Okay, didn't know the plays. My man didn't know. I mean, in the NFL, he may be like a Cordarrelle Patterson type of guy that ends up running back a little bit and returning kicks or something. I could see that, but I don't think he's got a future in that league because he can't learn the plays. Marshawn Lloyd was Caleb Williams' dad. I'm convinced. I'm 97% sure. because he did the same thing to Jordan Addison at Pitt. Same thing. That dude, and they're all from the same area. Like, Caleb's from D.C. Lloyd's from Delaware, but played at Dematha. Jordan Addison's from Maryland. I mean, they're all kind of walk around the same group. I'm convinced, because it followed the same pattern too of, oh, well, people speculated he'll go here to Southern Cal or whatever, and then you didn't hear anything about it, and then like it was almost like they were planning on letting time pass so it didn't look obvious. But that's what happened. Marshawn told Shane he was coming back, finishing his career here on a Thursday, and then by the next Monday, nobody could get him on the phone. And some other people answered for him, and that, you know, that was just kind of and that's going to happen, right? That's the downside of it.
I know,
but exactly it happens both ways.
That story,
but it happens both ways.
It didn't just come up that week when he stopped answering the phone, and then when Shane called and somebody else picks up. Like, he had been putting this off for a while. This was in the back of his mind that he might do this. And
yeah, he
left teammates hanging and all kinds of stuff. I mean, it wasn't a pretty exit.
Well, he's also one that probably could have played and did not until the Clemson game after they beat Tennessee, you know?
Yeah.
He got back out there and he probably could have played, but did not. So that's and you're better off without guys like that. I mean, I think you're better off with guys that are not, you know, unless they're just like elite. You know, and you're like, well, he's a jackass, but he's our jackass, and he can't be stopped. Yeah. I mean, but if you're just above average, you have no business being – you don't need him on your team. So that was that. By the way, Martin, I wanted to respond to this real quick because it was in the chat box earlier. Nobody lied about Juice Wells, okay? And Juice Wells was not hurt last offseason like Rocket. He was hurt during a scrimmage. And – like the first scrimmage, I think, and that stunk, and it lingered, and yeah, he, and I know Shane kept saying he's going to be back or not, but he would have, he could have come back at some point, and we'll just leave it at that. But nobody was sitting there intentionally lying. It was thought that he would, you know, and then that and whatever happened. So that's the deal. That's the deal there with that. So I just want to let you know nobody's lying to you. And the Rocket situation is different than the Juice situation. I think you'd be really stupid. You'd be stupid to make Rocket practice right now. Rocket, you want that guy to be as healthy as possible, right?
Oh, no, not me. Get his rear end out there. Take all the braces off, everything. You make him go out there and run and run and run.
Yeah, just so we'll all feel better.
Or improves.
That's right.
Just so you're
not
fooling me.
We brought our kids to go see the spring game, so we deserve it.
You're not fooling me. You said, I'm going to see you run. You're not fooling me.
Yeah. Let me see you run.
This is load management.
I'm skeptical. I'm spectacle. So,
Mike, this weekend, I've been meaning to tell you this. Stopped in at D's Wings.
Yeah. Good man. Yeah. Smart move.
Very, very excited to try to pick up some wings for the kids. Before we got to Williams-Brice, gonna be a long wait. So I was a little devastated. It wasn't their fault. It was my fault. It was kind of a last second. We were gonna eat at the ballpark.
Did you call ahead of time?
No, that's what I'm saying. It was my fault. I was like, let me just swing by there. You know, and as soon as I pulled up, I ran in. I was like, what would the wait time be to get some wings to go? And they're like, about 30 minutes. I was like, yeah, I don't have time for that. It was kind of a last second move. But so I owe them. And I might go up Saturday and go watch Kentucky and South Carolina baseball. So if I do,
there you go.
I will be going by there to supply our tailgate. With
these it's delicious. I ate there while I was in Columbia this past time as well, and it was good. Jay Diz, Rocket's weight is not a concern. Please do some research. Go Google Sam Pittman preseason last year. Rocket weighed 242, and they asked Sam Pittman, he said, if we get any more weight off of him, we're going to have to use scissors to cut skin. Direct quote.
God almighty. I was trying to tee you up there, Mike, so anytime you want to go.
You got to like.
Hey, we're going to do some.
Yeah, use some. I mean, I get it. I mean, I get it. You're 242-pound running back. You're like, wow. Because he's not Derrick Henry. but he moves just fine at that weight. I mean, he was 237 when he ran for 100 and whatever yards against Carolina that day. So 233.
Well, if you want to get from 242 to 250 in a hurry, stop into D's Wings. They'll take care of that for you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to suggest that you're going to put on a bunch of weight by having a nice, nutritious meal at D's Wings, but absolutely, you can. What is today? Wednesday? Mm-hmm. Today's Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
18 wings and a pitcher of beer for $29.
Really?
18 wings and a pitcher of beer for $29.
Not bad.
That is good living right there. And you know what? You get some exercise equipment from our friends over there in Charleston, and you might still lose weight.
So you, right?
You eat your wings and beer, and then you get on the row machine.
No,
and then it's a net sum gain, brother.
You get on your
electric. Still doing well.
You don't even have to pedal on an electric bike. You just let it go and just eat your wings and drink.
That's right. That's right. But I'm sure even Michelle would tell you if you want to lose the weight. The great thing about the electric bike is you can turn the thing off and still bike and still burn some calories. So, you know, you're living your best life, and you're certainly living your best life if you're at D's. You're living your best life if you got the proper insurance through Gary Patterson, proud Power Hour sponsor, serving Lexington, Camden, Blythewood, Columbia, and everything in between. If you're already with an insurance company and you might not be that happy, trust me, I feel your pain. Make the switch and save today. Call Gary Patterson. Go to GaryPatterson.net. While we were talking about food, I was supposed to get this last week. I'm just going to throw this out there for Chat Row, which is busy working up JC. I thought JC would have been worked up, but I thought somebody's going to take a shot at the spring game. And JC was about to open up a can on somebody. If the best thing you have is Rockets a little overweight, yeah, you know, that's JC at like a 2. You're on DEFCON 4. If you want to get JC at DEFCON 1, just throw something out there about the spring game, and that'll get everything cranked up. But it's been a mild-mannered Chat Row, but I'm going to throw some controversy into the mix. Fast food hot take.
Okay.
We touched on this a couple weeks ago, fast food hot take. So I'll give you an example. I don't do the Popeye's chicken sandwich. It's got mayo on it. No, thank you. I'm all about Chick-fil-A. I'm Jersey Mike's over Jimmy John's. My wife loves Qdoba over Chipotle. Now, I can't support this. I still love her, but I can't go with that. But she likes the chicken bowl at Qdoba. I like Dunkin' Donuts over Krispy Kreme. Yeah.
Wow. Wait, is that your hot take?
Dunkin' Donuts.
That's the hottest take we've heard yet.
That's your hot take, Mike?
Bring it. There he is.
No, their coffee's good. Their coffee's great. I like their coffee.
Coffee is better at Dunkin'.
I like the Dunkin' coffee. But
that's your hot take. Is Dunkin'
I pissed off three people with that one sentence. I love it. Come on.
Dunkin' Donuts should even be open. Like, if there, as long as Krispy Kreme exists, there shouldn't be a Dunkin' Donuts.
Nah, Dunkin's
better. They took the name Donut out of Dunkin'. Mike, how could you say that?
Krispy Kreme is good for one thing. I went to a Krispy Kreme field trip in the third grade. Okay, I used to love Krispy Kreme. If you want a glazed donut, man, you go there 7 days a week. If you want everything else on the planet that's available, you go to Dunkin'. I'm just saying.
All right. Well, all right. So it's 12:58. We got to go to break. I like what Kevin said. Let's just get his ass out of here, Phil. Eliminate Mike, too.
That's right. JB's kicking everybody out. Kevin's
Martin
behind
says Arby's is good. Here's another hot take. I haven't eaten an Arby's sandwich in 15 years. Now, I'm not saying it's not good. I see Arby's, and I don't get excited.
Meats. They have the meats. Sure,
yeah, right. They have the meats.
I have a fast food hot take, too, and I'll give it to you in the 1 o'clock hour. So I'm sure everybody's got one. It's okay to disagree on fast food.
Hey, I knew when I said that I was going to take a lot of arrows. Sometimes you just got to have a take that you know you're going to be in the minority. You're going to take criticism. I expect hate mail. Hopefully no death threats. If so, I've got a guy. He'll take care of you.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just got to speak truth. And that's the truth I know, and I stay with it.
Hey,
and I'm going to go get a dozen Dunkin' Donuts during the break.
You know what? I'm a big fan of those who will say what they like. Our friend Daniel Kelly, who will be here tomorrow, He's going to die on that hill with Spencer Rattler. And Spencer, you know what?
Spencer Rattler will be the next Tom Brady.
I respect people who say what they think.
Thank you.
And believe it. Not taking shots at people. You know, just right. This is what I believe, and this is why I believe that, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. All right. So we'll come back to that. Also, a quote from Shane Beamer on his defense that will certainly generate some discussion as well. Inside the Gamecocks, the show always live from the Cinerama Studios. We'll be right back.
We have started in 1979. Because we're a manufacturer, we're able to control our costs. That's why we like to manufacture as much of the product as we can, because in our factory stores, we can offer a competitive edge over other people around the country. When people come into one of our Palm Casuals, it's like they're buying their car at Detroit. They're going right to the factory and buying their car.
30-day money-back guarantee. That's a big deal with us. I mean, we get 30 days to do anything. I mean, return it, change it, get a different color, get your money back.
When you pull into a store and it says Palm Casual, you know you're at a factory store.
Rescues and Resin, proud supporters of Carolina Rise. They are also proud partners of the show. They make products you can't get anywhere else. Custom designed wood and resin products that make your tailgate, make your home, or make anything stand out. Order a custom cutting board, coasters, wall art, tables, and more. Contact Dustin and Tabitha at rescuesandresin.com today. Rescuesandresin.com, and put your imagination to work. Rescues and Resin, proud partners of Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
Hey, Gamecock fans, Mike Morgan here. During my time in Columbia, one of my favorite places to eat was Salsarita's. When I go back now for work or any other reason, it's still Salsarita's. Yeah, I'm like you. I love tacos. I love Tex-Mex. Where are you going to go to get them? Well, you've got two convenient Salsarita's locations, one in Lexington in the Target Center and one in West Columbia as well. Now, if you like tailgating, and who doesn't? Whether it's for a football game or anything else, they've got the catering hotline. Get yourself some Fiesta packs to take tailgating. Get yourself the Three Amigos bundles for tailgating. They make catering easy with a fresh, hot setup. And again, you just call the phone number 803-543-6297 to set it up. You can also look them up online, or you can even download the app. Salsarita's is just a cut above the rest. That's why they're serving Williams-Brice Stadium in the South Stands, also serving in the Colonial Life Arena. Again, that catering hotline number, make it easy for you and the folks out there. You don't need to settle for sandwiches every time. 803-543-6297. 803-543-6297.
It's 2024, and it's time to get in shape. Charleston Fitness Equipment can help you do just that in Mount Pleasant. The Wilkins family, big Gamecock fans and proud supporters of Carolina Rise and our programming on the Chief Sports Network. But most importantly, proud supporters of you getting healthy and staying healthy. CharlestonFitnessEquipment.com. Find them on the Chief Sports app and in Mount Pleasant. Happy New Year.